RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Welcome back. Have you ever wondered where corneas for corneal donations and transplants come from? Well, they don't drop out of the sky. Eye banking in America has truly developed, and we're quite fortunate today to have Jim Quirk, who's the president of one of the prestigious eye banks, the Lions Eye Bank at Delaware Valley, who will discuss with us a couple aspects about eye banking and the patients who are required to get it. So, Jim, thanks for being with us. What does an eye bank do?
Well, good morning, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. Eye banks are the organizations throughout the country that are responsible for working with families who've made the end-of-life decision to become cornea donors. Our staff will recover, evaluate, process, and distribute corneas to surgeons and awaiting patients who need a cornea transplant for site restoration or site improvement.
You know, I remember back in the day, we as ophthalmology residents would be called to harvest the eyes because you only had 24 hours before they deteriorated. Then better preservation methods happened. Then eye banks happened. And all of a sudden, you could schedule and patients could have a life and be scheduled for getting
absolutely.
The cornea.
Absolutely. I started my career in eye banking in the early 90s. And at that time, there was a long waiting list for cornea transplants. We would recover corneas over the weekend and go to the list and start calling to see if patients were available. With some intervention from the federal government where they had some legislation passed, which is known as routine referral and required request, this really gives the opportunity for everyone who passes away in a healthcare facility to have the option for donation. And that led to the loss of a waiting list. So now people have, as you mentioned, scheduled surgery. So if you see your ophthalmologist on a Friday and he determines that you need a transplant on Monday, there will be a cornea available for you and for your patient. It's been a great
especially because of the excellent communication by the Eye Bank Association of America. And the amazing thing is that the tissue has quality.
It does.
How do you test for quality of donated eye tissue?
So the most important thing for us as an eye bank is to ensure that we don't pass on any relevant communicable disease from the donor to the recipient. We want this to be a safe and successful operation. So tissue is screened for a variety of infectious diseases ranging from hepatitis to HIV to syphilis. And then the tissue ocular quality is also assessed, very similar to what a patient would experience when they go to the eye doctor. The cornea is evaluated with a slit lamp biomicroscope to ensure there are no defects with the various layers of tissue. And we use a specular microscope to ensure that the endothelium, which is the backside of the cornea or the functional layer, is healthy and then it will have a great outcome in the patient on the other end. All this doesn't happen by itself. We have a dedicated staff of technicians and quality folks who ensure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And we do this 24/7, 365 days a year.
It's so different than the days that it was potluck on how good the cornea was, and at least 5% of the time you had primary graft failure, which means that the tissue really wasn't good. And the eye banks have kept up with all the new iterations of corneal procedures, because not everybody needs a full-thickness transplant. But I'm curious, as you're probably well aware, why is healthy human cornea tissue preferable to an artificial cornea and just say, well, let's just put in an artificial cornea and not waste our time waiting?
Gotcha. Well, the wonderful thing about eye banking in the United States, as I mentioned, we did away with the waiting list. So there is really no substitute for a human cornea. They're abundant in the United States. And you're really doing a one-to-one transplantation of a tissue in the body that's avascular. So the recipient doesn't tend to reject the tissue because there's no blood supply to a good, healthy cornea. You also mentioned some conditions that require various layer-specific transplantation, which is something that's really been great in the past 10 years, where no longer do you have to replace the whole cornea. If only the backside of the tissue is diseased, you know, the eye bank can prepare tissue in-house, whether it be as thin as a Demet graft, where we're only transplanting decimated membrane and endothelium, to a Dissect graft, where the eye bank prepares tissue that contains some stroma for another partial thickness transplant. All of these things have great predictable outcomes, and in fact, over 97% of the time, these surgeries are successful.
The audience probably be interested to know that you and I have grown up together over the last 29 years because
we
have worked intimately together in honing both of our skills. And you mentioned that the cornea has no blood vessels. That's what leads to the tremendous success. But there's one other thing, is that since corneas were the first viable transplants in large numbers, it changed the whole attitude towards organ donation. And the fact is that corneas and eyes have led the way in terms of donating hearts, livers, lungs, pancreas, etc. None of those would have been possible without the community recognition of the need for donors. And so I've obviously that people who are listening should consider them and their families to be donors, because it enriches the lives of others. And actually, it enriches the family of the deceased people to know that something actually lives on. What is the demand like currently in the United States for cornea transplantation?
So in the United States, roughly 45,000 cornea transplants are performed every year. The iBanking system in the U.S., though, distributes about 78,000 transplants, but some of those go overseas. Like I mentioned earlier, we've met the need in the U.S. for transplantation. One of the great altruistic things about what we all do is we're able to send this tissue that's no longer needed in the U.S. overseas for mission work and things like that. And not only is sort of the does it fulfill the need to restore sight to folks who would never have the opportunity or access to healthy corneal tissue, but it also serves to educate physicians overseas and underserved populations so that they can carry out the sight restoration gifts without having to wait on mission work from the U.S. It's really a very great thing that's going on, and I know our iBank has been privileged to provide hundreds of corneas for those surgeries over the years.
And the quality of the corneas that people do not get in other cultures. And I've been working with a group for 40 years that does cornea transplantation teaching in many parts of the world. And it's nice to go hand in glove to have excellent tissue to bring with you to teach the people there to do it so that they can actually follow the patients and become inspired to get their town or village or state to start to donate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it snowballs into something that's a benefit, because blindness around the world is tremendous in terms of the numbers, whether it's cataract, whether it's trauma, whether it's onchocercosis and river blindness and herpes, etc. There's so many people that can be helped. At the same time, so many things we can try to prevent. So what role do you play in terms of educating your colleagues in the United States and sharing with experiences with other iBanks?
So as you mentioned, I've had the privilege to do this work for over 25 years. And in the early days, as you mentioned, it was sort of we were dependent on the hospitals to partner with us to ensure that donation was made available. These days, there's a push from the federal government. You mentioned how cornea transplantation sort of paved the way for organ donation. You know, as you know, the first cornea transplant was done in 1905, 50, 60 years before solid organs came around. So, you know, we've all come together as a community to ensure that we spread the word about the need for donation. While we've eliminated the need for corneal donors, but we've eliminated the waiting list for corneal donors in the United States, tens of thousands of people wait every day for a life-saving organ donation.
Well, going from the substantial to the sublime, the currency of human existence is love and giving. And the iBank is a place where there's giving. And it's a possibility for everybody to contribute $100 or be an iDonor and do something to save the vision of an anonymous person here or around the world. At any rate, I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, and you can hear this segment or any other segment by going to my show place on radiomd.com.